Talk about resurrection today, but before I get there, are you ready to resurrect the dead? What happens if you're the only one that knows who God is and he tells you to go ahead and do it? Will you obey?
Yes.
It's important. I think these are times when we're going to have to deal with things like that. But before I get to that, I want you to think about that just a bit. I think it was in January that our brother Bruce got up here and gave us a prophetic word and said, tough times are coming. This is before COVID. Do you remember times before COVID? If you look in the history books, you'll find it there. He came and he said that there was going to be shortages. I think he was talking about empty shelves in the stores. He didn't know he was looking at the toilet paper aisle at that time. He wasn't sure exactly which it was because there was nothing on the shelves. Yeah. I don't understand why the toilet paper prices skyrocketed, because we make it here. The trees didn't get more costly. Anyway, he told us at that time to put provisions away. And some people have put some provisions away, and some haven't. But as an accountant, I started to look this week, I think directed by the Lord, at what our economy is looking like. And our economy, yeah, thank you for that. I think that's an amen in Onoville. our economy is being held up by an artificial bubble, artificial funding. We're borrowing money from the Never Never Plan. If our households were run on the same basis as our country right now, we would be definitely bankrupt, and we wouldn't be allowed to keep anything that we have. Now, whether you think that that's part of the plan or not, I'm not concerned about that. But our economy is, and the economy of the United States, more importantly, is, like I say, artificially propped up at this time. It's going to come to it's going to come to a time when the things are going to start to fail, because people can't afford their mortgages because they aren't working. The government money for you to stay off work is going to end. The artificial funding of businesses is going to stop, and lots of businesses will fail. There are churches right now that are having to sell their buildings because they can't afford their mortgages. Churches, terrible thing. And we're just on the kind of the leading edge of what the economy is going to do. I think, this is my opinion, but I think that we're going to see huge shortages. I think we're going to see significant change in the economy. The only way historically that we could get out of this kind of debt is to keep the debt at today's dollars, but to go through hyperinflation so that we pay it with dollars that are worth much less. But we can't do that because there will be no businesses to fuel the economy. Our gross domestic product in Canada will fall drastically, I think, and in the States. So, I'm not here to give you bad news at all. Jesus is going to see us through it. Jesus is going to get us to a place where... Did you want to say something, Bruce? Okay, this isn't planned, so come on up here. This is the guy that had that prophetic utterance for us back... Was it January? I didn't talk to you about that.
Yeah, you were just left on your holiday.
Oh.
January.
I have to remind people that I had a holiday. I worked so hard.
Yeah. Hey, you deserve it. You deserve it. Yes. Praise God. Thank you. In December, the Lord told me this is the last year we have to prepare. And I really believe this is the last year to prepare, to put things away. But in the worship there this morning, the Lord reminded me through this worship, it was so fantastic. Jesus fed the 5,000. And then the next day, the people came to him and he said to them, "You want me because I fed you, not because of who I am." And that's what worship was today. We're going to need him to feed us. He is the bread that comes from heaven. But it's who he is that's going to sustain us in what's coming, because everything is going to fail. And this is God's mercy to draw all mankind to himself in these last days.
Did you want to read something out of that book?
It was just John with the John 6 where he talked about...
I heard that book's good.
Yeah, it's best book in the world. It's just where John said, Jesus said to the crowd, "You look for me because you want food." And so I just... It was my reference, so yeah.
A good paraphrase. It was a faithful paraphrase, so thank you for that. Anyway, my purpose here is twofold in just bringing this up. While COVID started, we had our COVID moments before I'd preach every Sunday, and we're not doing that so much. But I felt a push this week to encourage everybody to try to hear from God what he wants you to do. And I would say, get a big bag of rice and get a big bag of oatmeal and get a big bag of beans. You know, just put them away, just in case. What are you going to lose, you know? have something put aside. If you don't need it, give it away later, you know? Stupid Pastor Randy, why'd he make us do that? You know? Go see one of the good food banks, and they'll take the food from you. But I would say put some things away at this time. Hear from God about how to prepare you and your household. But also pray. This is a time when we need God to intervene. Donna Anderson sent me a link to a prayer group from you know, across Canada, and they said that we're almost out of time, but there is still time to pray. If my people who are called by my name, you know, if we will pray and hear his voice, then he will heal the land. So there is still a very small window available, and I'm encouraging everybody to do that. Pray. Take it to your closets. Be real about this. They've been promising us the second wave this fall, and I do believe it's a promise. It's not what if. They already know that it's coming, and when it's coming, there are a lot of people out there that do not want to accept anything that the government tells us anymore, and so there will be unrest and chaos and all kinds of things coming this fall. We can be prepared. We don't have to go into this assuming that everything's okay just because we made it through the first wave. Oh, it's done now and we can get on with it. We're going to go into the phase 3 and then phase 4 and everything will be fine. The kids will go to school and life will return. I don't believe you're going to see that. My belief is, and I don't want to give life to anything like this, but I believe that we are in for some very difficult times. So prepare, prepare. Whatever way God is telling you to prepare, do prepare. James? Yeah, the thing about prophecies is that the prophets see the future, but they can't tell the distance between where they're seeing it and when it's happening. No, that's for us to work out with God. And John Paul Jackson is who you're referring to, and his prophecy, The Perfect Storm, could be happening right this moment, you know? God always warns his people. I do nothing but I tell my prophets. And so it's important that we pay attention. Mike, happy birthday.
Thank you.
He thought he was in trouble for getting up. So that being said, let me turn to the Word. We've been following this from Hebrews 6, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about baptisms or washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." Now, we've been through most of those. I want to talk about resurrection from the dead today. I think God was talking to us when Ron DeLorme spoke early in the summer, and he used one word, foundations, and that just quickened my heart. And I felt like God was saying, get back to the foundations. Make sure everybody knows the provisions I've made. I have laid out things for you to run your lives with. And many of those things have been distorted by, let's call them well-meaning teachers and pastors, taking them away from what the biblical truth was. It's important that we follow the biblical truth as close as we can. And it's important that we keep it in balance. And so I wanted to make sure that we did have a teaching on those things from Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. And today I want to talk about resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. And I'll go through this pretty quickly. We've taken up a whole bunch of time already. I'm not going to let you go early because the Canucks aren't playing anymore. There's no point in going home. First Corinthians 15, 19 says, "If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied." If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. It's not the sentence structure isn't looking at hoping in Christ. It's about this life. Hoping in Christ is never to be pitied. Hoping in Christ is what we have. It is the foundation of everything that we are. But it's about in this life. because there is so much more. This life is so transient. God calls it like grass. It's here today and gone. You know, it's done before you know it. And if you think of it in terms of eternity, how long is eternity? Yeah. Some of the haircut lineups in COVID times seem like eternity, but it's not quite that way. Eternity is a long time. A long time. It's more than the 120 years that we may get here. Like that, 120 years is so fast. 70 years is so fast, you know. And the life of man is 70 years, that's 70 years, and 10 more if you're strong. So, are you feeling a little chuffed up there, Steve? Because you're strong? Oh. Okay. But Moses lived to 120, and his vigor was not abated. At 120, he climbed a mountain, and he could see the promised land from there. That's available to us. I don't exactly know how. I don't know what, you know, do we have to eat just locusts and wild honey from Israel? Or I tried to eat locusts once. And the legs get stuck in my throat. Anyway. But eternity's way longer. And the point they're making there, Paul is making, is that hoping in Christ in this life is amazing. But if that's all you're hoping for, there is so much more. There is so much more. Heaven is real. Eternity with God is real. The most crucial and astonishing fact of all history is in the resurrection of Christ. It is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Where, as Paul the Apostle says, and this is in 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is vain. Yet he then says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Resurrection is a part of lots of different philosophies and religions around the world, but none like ours. None where the resurrected lives and continues to live. Those that were resurrected in other religions are dead now. Much like Lazarus, who was raised by Jesus from the dead, he eventually died again. Jesus raised a couple of people from the dead. But it was not like him. He was raised as the first fruits, the one that would live forever. And he's amazing. Resurrection is a reality and a wonder. You want to know what it's like? My wife was resurrected from the dead. She died in Mexico, and God supernaturally raised her. He used a willing vessel that was just obedient in the moment. It was not that I lived a life of obedience. It was not like I had supernatural faith and was able to muster up the, "Oh, rise up, old woman," or anything like that. He just simply whispered to me in the way that he does, the way that I had become accustomed to. He just said, "Speak life." And in that moment that you're faced with those kind of things, listen for that voice. Take a deep breath and listen, because he's with you the whole time. I just moved in obedience. I had no faith. that she would be raised. I was convinced, fully convinced, that she was dead. I told some of you that, like, it's funny where your thoughts go and how quickly they can go. But I was thinking, how on earth am I going to get her back to Canada? Am I going to have to, like, rent or, like, pay the airlines to put a coffin in the cargo bay? Or can I have her cremated down here and just put her urn on the seat next to me? Or, like, and I'm thinking all these things. Those don't sound like faith to me. And yet he spoke through that. Gently, and I just obeyed. And I said, I speak life in Jesus' name. I said it three times, and on the third time, she came from somewhere back into life. She has her own side of that story, and I encourage you to talk to her about it. And we still don't understand fully what happened, but we're grateful. I am grateful. Lots of good meals since then. God is so faithful. So faithful. And he'll be with you in that moment. And I think we're going to be in a place in the coming days where a number of us are going to be challenged to do that very thing. And when I said, are you ready, I meant, are you ready? To be ready, all you have to do is be able to hear the voice of God, be able to discern the voice of God. You don't have to be Benny Hinn or, you know, one of the generals in the faith. You just have to be obedient. The definition of resurrection is to rise up, to raise from sleep, to raise from the dead. The Old Testament promised the resurrection of Christ. It says in Psalm 16:10, "For thou wilt not abandon my soul to hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." Way back then, he knew that Jesus would be raised from the dead. And that was his promise. Jesus spoke of the resurrection to his disciples before he was crucified. It says in Matthew 16:21, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must be killed and raised on the third day. Jesus fulfilled his promise. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said, "Come and see the place where he was lying." His resurrection was personally witnessed by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Think about it. Did they have a hootenanny over that? And some of you will know what that is, but Peter, Paul, and Mary was a singing group, but Peter, Mary, and later Paul all saw the resurrected Christ. The 12 apostles and 500 brethren also saw the raised Christ. And importantly, it was his same body. This isn't reincarnation, which is gaining some notoriety these days. It's out there. You may hear the word here and there. But reincarnation is you come back as in another body. Animal, insect, something else other than the body you lived this life in. Jesus came back in the same body. It was supernatural. It could go through walls. It could appear here and there. But Jesus showed them the holes in his hands. They could see the holes in his feet. They could touch the hole in his rib cage if they needed to. It was the same body. They recognized him. It was not a reincarnation by any stretch. He was resurrected. Thank you, Lord. Let me just Yeah, I'll drop down to a couple of different things. The significance of the resurrection, it was the declaration that Jesus was the Son of God. Romans 1:4 says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. It was the death knell for death itself. Romans 6:9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death is no longer master over him. The very hardest enemy to defeat was not the Roman Empire. It was death. And Jesus beat death. Amazing, amazing power. Declaration to the rest of mankind that we will all be resurrected. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. It placed Christ on the throne above all things. The resurrection is a cornerstone of the Christian confession of faith. It's in the Apostles' Creed. The Nicene Creed. It's so vital for us to believe that Christ was resurrected. The nature of the resurrection of men is the resurrection of men is promised in the Old Testament, and many of those who are asleep in the dust of the ground will wake these to everlasting life. But the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. That's from Daniel 12, verse 2. Jesus brought about a spiritual resurrection for believers to be experienced upon conversion. Jesus told Mary that he himself was the resurrection. Now, just let me read that. Martha said to him, I know that thou will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus just broke through that whole theology. That was the teaching of the time. And Jesus was saying that that would happen. But Jesus said, and you got to catch this. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Not I will be resurrected. I am the resurrection. Okay, so where does the Spirit of Jesus reside right now? This is not a not a hard one. In us. Yeah. Rich has got one. Anybody else got Jesus in them? The resurrection is in you now. Now we think that it's something outside of us, something supernatural and away from us, and that if I ever had to find myself at the side of the road with somebody who had just died in a car accident, I wouldn't know what to do. The resurrection lives within you. The resurrection lives within you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, and it will quicken your mortal bodies, right? Like there is something absolutely stupendous already in you. If we can tap into that, like how, if the resurrection is in you, how far from you is divine healing? It's in you too. Divine is just referring to God. He's the best vitamin you can take. Yeah. You think blueberries are a good antioxidant? Try the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to raise your body up. Every morning you should be there are scriptures that we can recite that will bring us to life, commanding our cells to be all that they can be supernaturally. It's available to us. I am not selling a book nor snake oil for you. I'm telling you, you have it already when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Linnea didn't know about it before she went to Freedom Session. She didn't know the power of Jesus Christ to change her life. But she went to Freedom Session and found Him who became the greatest gift that she'd ever received. Men had been rude to her. Jesus was wonderful. He's just so good. The resurrection lives in us. Is that not exciting? Like, I read that and I get all butterfly stomach, you know. Whoa! The resurrection. He is the resurrection, not I will be resurrected. I am the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said that those that were dead in sin would hear His voice and come to life. An hour is coming, He said, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it shall live. It doesn't say the dead in Christ. It says all the dead. Everybody's going to rise up one day. So not only Jesus is resurrected, not only His believers are resurrected, but everybody gets resurrected on that last day. There'll be a judgment day, and that's another sermon for another day. The teaching of Paul's letters confirm the spiritual resurrection in the life of the believer. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. He did. He made us alive together with Christ. Christians experience resurrection life when they die, as their spirits and souls go to be with the Lord. Their bodies wait for the resurrection on the last day. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' story of Lazarus and the rich man. Remember the not Lazarus who was Mary and Martha's brother, but this is a different Lazarus. It's kind of a long story. It's from Luke 14, verses 19 to 31. Lazarus dies, and a rich man that knew him recognized him and asked if Lazarus could possibly go and warn his brothers and his family. And Jesus said no. But the reality of the resurrection is so important if we can catch it and tell others about it now. The point in that story is that you know, once you recognize that you're going to be dead, you want to tell everybody what they need to do in life. Where we need to do it is now. Now is the time. If we're entering into a terrible time, then it's so vitally important that we be ready to share our stories. You don't have to have 4 spiritual principles in your pocket. Just have your story and how Jesus has made a difference in your life. I have an understanding that when we testimony is about what Jesus has done. It's not our full history. So often you hear people recounting their history and the glory of the wonder of the terrible life that they had and how bad they really were and all of the details of that and the the actual testimony of what happened in their life to become Christians gets a very short process. I think history is one thing, and it should be wound up by saying something like, I was a terrible, no good, dirty, rotten rat, but then Jesus, and then your testimony starts. Jesus is your testimony. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the resurrection. And he lives within us. He is so, so wonderful. Hallelujah. That's true. He does. And he wants to hear you saying it to other people. Jesus loves you. Yeah. You just told me. I will. So our spirits are made alive. Our spirits are born again. Our soul will go to be with the Lord. Our spirit will go to be with the Lord. But our body will have to wait. It goes into the ground, however, you know. But it will rise again, and we will be reunited with our body, a supernatural body, a body that is going to be amazing. But our body is the last part that will be resurrected, because our spirits have already been resurrected. They've been brought to life. We had a spirit that was alive in Adam, and then death came. And then it came to life again in Jesus Christ. Resurrection power came into our lives. I'm just going to end it there. There's lots and lots and lots of other scriptures I had, but one of my mentors once said, if you haven't struck oil in 20 minutes, stop boring. So we're just over 20 minutes now. If you stand, I want to pray with you that the incredible wonder of the resurrection would become vital to each of us. That Jesus, who is the resurrection, would enliven that in us. And have us ready for this day. Like he's told us many things about this day. He warned us 4,000 years ago that end times would be upon us. But we would have to have eyes to see it. And we can see now that many people in our society are not seeing it. And because of the way it's been structured, they aren't going to believe anything that we have to say. So we're going to need signs and wonders in some way or another for God to show his glory to this earth. But we need to be ready. We need to be ready and know that he is the resurrection and he lives in each of us. So Lord, here we are. We've had a wonderful time with you. You spoke to us in our worship about we're going to get through this together and we're not to be in fear. I heard your voice, Lord. Sounded a whole lot like our worship leader. But I heard your voice. And how encouraging that was. And then we heard about how we can find out who we are in this program of Freedom Session. And how important that is in this day. That we not share with others our anger or our disappointments, but we're able to share the wonder of who God made us to be. Thank you for Freedom Session, and thank you for how many have been set free through your Holy Spirit in Freedom Session. Would you quicken our hearts about that if we need to be a part of that as each of us today, Lord? But Lord, thank you that you are the resurrection. Not only were you resurrected and showed us resurrection, but you are resurrection. You are resurrection life, and you reside in each of us today. That power is alive in us. Let us connect with that, Lord. Let us have your rhema wonder about that, that we can tie our hearts to that and understand the incredible love, as we were reminded, the incredible love that you had for us, because you are love. The love that you have for us, even though we don't feel worthy, even though we don't know what the future is going to bring. But you love us right now, and you want to help us to explain that to others. So let us connect with you about the resurrection life in us and the love that you have for us and the love that you have for each one out there, that we can all be resurrected and the people that we talk to will rise to life with you and not life in that other place. Lord, we're so grateful. We love you. Oh, and we're thankful that you've been here with us. Would you touch each one as I know you want to. I know you want to bless each one because you love us so much. Bring your healing, your reconciliation, your wonder to each one today. Here and at home, those that are watching online. Lord, bring it, bring it, bring it. You are amazing. In your lovely name, Jesus. Amen.